Thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God, as we find it in the Word of God, and particularly in the epistles of Paul, God's appointed apostle of grace. Hearty welcome to our first-time listeners. We hope you enjoy the broadcast, and that you'll want to make it a point to tune into Bible Time every week at this time. Make yourself some kind of a reminder so that you won't forget. Now, for the next 4 weeks, I want, with God's help, to speak to you on Paul's Don't You Knows. Don't you know? But before we begin, let's listen to a selection by Bill Pierce that will fit in well with this first message, Blessed Calvary. This will give our late friends a chance to tune in and join us, and will give you a chance, perhaps, to get your Bible or to call some friends and tell them that Bible Time is on the air. Now then, Bill Pierce, Blessed Calvary.
I look at the cross upon Calvary, and oh, what a wonder divine. You think of the wealth it holds for me, the riches of heaven. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, deep thy shadow I'll ever abide. Blessed Calvary, precious Calvary, is my hope for eternity. No merit have I of my own. The shed blood of Christ, my only plea. My trust is in Jesus alone.
Again and again in his epistles, uses words like these, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of so-and-so. And do you know these are the very facts that so many Christians are most ignorant of? This is even so where leading Bible teachers are concerned. And it was no different in our Lord's day. You'll remember that he had to say to Nicodemus in John 3:10, are you a ruler in Israel and don't know these things? Now, thus it is with Paul's don't you knows. Really, it's rather old English in our King James Bible. It's know ye not. Now, this phrase, know ye not, is found 15 times in Paul's epistles, 11 of them in the letters to the Corinthian church. Now, the very phrase, "know ye not," has a tone of reproof in it, does it not? And this was not only a reproof to those to whom he wrote, but it is written by inspiration so that we may take care that we don't need to be reproved in the same way. Now, the very first one is found in Romans 6, verse 3, and has to do with a subject that I'm afraid has caused a great deal of heat among Christians through many centuries of time. But I think you'd want me to speak on it. I certainly do so in Christian love, and will try not to be explosive about it or try to stir things up. I just want you to know what God says here in Romans 6:3 about this first subject. Let me read it to you. Romans 6:3, "Know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Now, this is very strong language. He speaks of being baptized into Christ. Now, years ago, I had a pastor who, bless his heart, tried to sort of explain this away. And he said, you know, this Greek preposition, eis, E-I-S, is translated, now I won't get these figures right, but I'll give you the idea. He says it's translated 169 times, unto, and that's what it should be here. But the pastor forgot to tell that it's translated perhaps 960 some times, into. That is, the vast majority of times this Greek word is translated into. In fact, the Greeks had a way of describing what this preposition meant, and it was a circle with an arrow entering it. And that's what this word eis means. "Know ye not," he said, "that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death." Now, this is certainly in line with the phrase used throughout Paul's epistles, in Christ. How consistently and continuously he says that believers are in Christ, just as Christ hung at Calvary's cross as me, as Cornelius R. Stam, as he died in my place, so I now stand before God in Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says that God has made us believers accepted in the Beloved One. Think of it. God broke the heavens, broke through the heavens one time at our Lord's baptism to say, "This is my Beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And now he says that about us. We are accepted in the Beloved One, and God says, "Oh, I'm pleased with him." Oh, he's not pleased with the way we act somehow, sometimes, but he sees us in Christ. We have a standing, every believer has a standing before God in Christ. And in Colossians 2:10, he goes farther. He says that he pronounces us complete in Christ. In ourselves, we all come short, but in Christ, we are complete. So then, we're accepted by God and pronounced complete by God as believers, because he sees us in Christ. Now, if we are in Christ, then how did we get into Christ? Well, Romans 6:3 tells us here. We were baptized into Christ. Oh, beloved, don't inject a drop of water into this wonderful verse and rob it of its meaning. Could we actually be put into Christ by water? Now, it doesn't say here that as many of us as were baptized like Christ. No, it says baptized into Christ. Now, to get the feel of the phrase, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, where he says, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, that's clear what that means. We were made members of the body of Christ. How? By a baptism. What kind of a baptism? A spiritual, a supernatural baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. But how were we then baptized into the one body of Christ? How were we baptized into Christ? Well, let's read on. Romans 6:3. Don't you know, we ought to know this, he says, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. You see, we must go to Calvary, as it were, and see Christ dying. And we must see this is not his death he's dying. How could it be? The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Those are four, but there are many quotations from the scriptures that say that same thing. Well, whose death was he dying then? Not his own. He did know sin, we read. He could say without tongue in cheek to his listeners, which of you convicteth me of sin? He hadn't sinned. Well, whose death was he dying? Not his death. This is not his death. This is my death he's dying. And when we go to Calvary and see that and acknowledge by faith this is not his death he's dying, it is my death, don't you see, at that moment we become one with him by faith. And this is nothing mystical. This is something real. It was not his death. It was a very real death. Oh, those stripes were very real to him. That crown of thorns, the smiting on the face, and all the terrible things they did to him, and nailed there to a cross, that was very real. But it was really my death, not his own death. And when I acknowledge that, I become one with him, and that's how I am baptized into Christ. Calvary is always the meeting place. Know ye not, don't you know, that as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. That's how it was done. Doesn't this agree with Galatians 3:26 and 27, where the apostle says, you're all the children of God, ye believers, are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For, not and, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How beautiful. In Colossians 2:12, he says that this baptism is by the operation of the Spirit, by the operation of God, not the operation of the clergyman, but the operation of God. But somebody says, wait a minute, Pastor. What about that next verse in Romans 6? All right, let's read them together. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There he says we're buried by baptism into his death, buried with him. But just let's hold on there a second. To some people, this immersion or burial in water may be referred to here, but it's not actually so. We don't bury people in water, beloved, not unless there's an emergency out at sea. They never did bury people in water. And water baptism in the New Testament is not a burial, it is a washing. He's not speaking of water baptism here, for that is never a burial, it is a washing. Remember Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And in the first seven verses of Mark, the seventh chapter, in several, it's used alternately, wash, baptize, and very clearly it speaks of cleansing rather than burial. But the point is that as we were baptized into Christ by being made one with him in his death, so we're one with him in his resurrection. We're buried by baptism into death. This is merely a continuation of verse 3. We should reckon that old man to be dead indeed. Now, in fact, he says that in the 11th verse. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. You are buried with him, not like him, with him, by baptism into death, or into the place of death. When he had paid for our sins fully at Calvary's cross and had cried, "It is finished," he was taken down from the cross and buried. And by faith, we should do that with our old man. So many Christians are struggling and striving and with the old nature and trying to overcome it. You never will. But as far as God is concerned, oh, thank God, that old man is already dead. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ." You see, not like Christ again, but with Christ. Therefore, he says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. It's interesting to see what arguments have been brought forth to try to make water baptism a burial when the Bible never speaks of it as such. Not long ago, I was reading a book by a pastor who quoted Mark 1:9, and he said, if this be not enough, Mark 1:9 says that Christ was baptized of John in Jordan. Now, that word "in," he says, shows that he was put under the water. Well, let's go back just a few verses to verse 4, where we read that John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and the first part of the verse says he did baptize in the wilderness. Did he put him under the earth? Of course not. That's the area where he was. And when he baptized, it was very natural to stand in Jordan. That's where water was. And that's where he used the water either to pour or to sprinkle him with, but surely it is not burial. Acts 8 sometimes is used to prove that water baptism was burial in water. In Acts 8 and the 38th verse, it says that the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, and he and Philip went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. And so they say went into the water. That's got to mean burial. Oh, does it? But if it does, it means that not only the eunuch was baptized, but Philip himself was. It says they went down both into the water, and it emphasized it, both Philip and the eunuch. No, they just went down from their chariot down to where the water was, that's all. And that's where Philip baptized the eunuch in a time when that was still in order. For you remember John 1 and the 33rd verse, John the Baptist said, "I didn't know Christ except that he was to be made manifest to Israel. Therefore came I baptizing with water." Since Colossians 2, verses 8 to 12, are so much like this verse in Romans, let's look at that passage, please. Colossians 2, and here we find Paul giving us a sermon on a text. Listen, verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you," that is, rob you, "through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye believers, are complete in him." Now there's the text. You're complete in him. Now here's the sermon. Verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Now notice that very clearly. Circumcision was the rite by which God separated his people from the licentious Gentiles. It spoke of death to the flesh. And here Paul says, we're circumcised in Christ. That old man, the old body of sin, has been put away in Christ. Then he goes on, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Not buried like him. That's what so many people seem to read into that. It says buried with him. When he was buried, you were buried, dear Christian friend. It's like Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Now, we don't go through an ordinance in which you are in some way crucified like Christ. No, no. You say when he was crucified, I was crucified. My sins were paid for because I was there in Christ. Well, it's the same way here. Buried, not like him, with him in baptism, whereunto ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, not the operation of the clergyman, beloved, but the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. He's given life to you together with him. Get that? Not like him, together with him. When he was crucified, you were crucified. When he was buried and raised again, so were you, having forgiven you all trespasses. How wonderful. This indeed is a circumcision without hands. It's a baptism by the operation of God. How simple and wonderful when once you see it. Know ye not, Paul says, don't you know this? You ought to know it. Now I hope you do know it. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. How simple and wonderful. The cross is always the meeting place. And verse 4, therefore you're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And Ephesians 2 takes us still farther. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He says, and he's raised us up together. We were in him, raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So much for Paul's first don't you know. We'll go on with others next week by the grace of God. Now, thanks to those who are helping us keep these broadcasts going, and thanks to every one of you for listening. May God richly bless you, each one.